I have great memories of baptisms. How about you? I don't know. I can't think of anybody that's had a bad experience, but I'm sure there are some that are out there. There was that one time when the baptistry was cold for an immersion, and that person seemed to have not such a good time, but didn't bother me. What I most remember about my own was that it was storming outside, and I could hear thunder, and how special I felt after my pastor baptized me. I also have fond memories of when my children were baptized. There's one there, Maggie Lee, getting baptized, especially because I had the privilege of baptizing both of my children. Both of them were so excited, and I remember the warm applause and the cheering after they came out of the water. You could see Jack there going crazy. And I think of all the people I've baptized in my years of ministry and the amazing joy that each person's face showed in the baptismal waters. Great memories, for sure. Our gospel text this morning gives us a memory of Jesus' baptism, describing the when, the where, and the how of when it took place. As we hear, it takes place in the Jordan River. Around here, we would say the Jordan River, right? And this particular baptism was extra special, as it was there that this epiphany took place. It was within that baptism that there was an epiphany, not only for Jesus, but for those who were gathered around. And different gospels describe it in different ways as to who might have heard the voice of God and who didn't. Mark is always about, let's get on with this. It's the shortest gospel, and I'm going to give you all the information so that we can get out there and start following Jesus. That's kind of what Mark does. So he doesn't give us a ton of details, but this was definitely an extra special baptism. So here's what we learn about God from Jesus in our text this morning. I want to point out just a few things. First of all, we learn of God's knowability. Have you ever thought about that? That God is knowable. Mark described how the heavens tore open as Jesus was baptized. And as we look later in the gospel text, at the end where we see Jesus being crucified, there is something else that is torn. So Mark is using this word really from the beginning to emphasize what is going on between heaven and earth. And here at this point, the heavens are tearing open. And all this was taking place as Jesus was baptized, emphasizing God's entrance into the earth and into humankind in the person of Jesus. As Jesus was baptized, he looked at those heavens and he saw the Spirit descending upon him in the image of a dove. I love this image here. I can't think of who the artist was, but I have seen this for a few years and tried to include it in my slides. It's an amazing painting of what it must have been like for Jesus during that time.
And it's all three of the Trinity.
Yes. Good observation. So as he was baptized, he looked at those heavens. He saw the Spirit coming in this image of a dove. And Jesus heard God's voice revealing who Jesus was to God and to the world. This is my son. Or as Mark puts it, you are my son, the beloved. With you, Jesus, I am well pleased. And Mark wanted his readers in the church to know how knowable God had made himself to be. One commentary I read this past week shared something that the great theologian Karl Barth stated about the baptism account of Jesus. Karl Barth proposed that God's claiming of Jesus in this story summarizes the essence of the gospel, the astonishing claim that God does not will to remain hidden in the heights of heaven, but descends to the depths of early life in order to be seen and heard by us finite creatures. The infinite making himself known to the finite. That is a great summary of the essence of the gospel, don't you think? That God has done something through someone to ensure that we would see and hear God. On this first Sunday after the Epiphany, by the way, the Epiphany was yesterday, we must understand that God is knowable. When we look at Jesus and hear from him, we are seeing and we are hearing God. The baptism of Jesus is for us an epiphany that will enlighten us as to who God is and to what God is up to in our world. God has torn open heaven and entered the world because he wants you to know him. God isn't hiding from you. God isn't ghosting you when you contact him. Sometimes it feels that way, though, doesn't it? We wonder, is God even listening to my prayer? No, what we see in his entrance into our world in Jesus is that he is immensely accessible to us, seeking to bring us closer to himself, not push us away, not to run from us and hide from us. Jesus' life, his words and actions are all here for us as a bright and shining indicator of God's identity. Well, second, Jesus' baptism reveals to us God's intervention and involvement in the world, not a passive presence in our situation. John the Baptizer understood that God was up to something in this world. I mean, that's kind of why he went out there in the wilderness, right? He heard a call from God. He understood his own identity. And he knew it from the prophets of old, and that he was called to be one as well. I'm sure this terrified him at first, but it seems like the way Mark describes it, he's kind of getting the hang of it, right? He's shouting at people, and he's living off the land. Probably smells terrible out there. He's calling people to come and to repent, to point to God's involvement throughout all of Israel's history, and specifically to the one who is coming after him, to be the ultimate revelation of God's plan for the world. This was John's radical message and work in the wilderness, reminding Israel that God was still actively bringing that plan to be, and it was going to happen in their time, and that they were to respond accordingly. Well, I wonder this morning, do you see God in your situation today? Maybe as you look back at the past year, do you see God's involvement? Do you see where God has spoken to you? God has reached out to you? Maybe God has put people in your life? Are you and I aware of how God gets involved with our lives and our troubles and our relationships, our jobs, and more? It is a great epiphany for us to find that God isn't oblivious to our situations in life, nor is he aware, but just uncaring or indifferent. God taking human flesh into our world as Jesus means that God desires to be in the mix of our humanity, our suffering, our heartbreaks, our addictions, and our innermost struggles. When we understand this reality, we, like John the Baptist and the people who went out to be baptized by him, realize our need to participate in what Jesus is doing in our lives. It means that we become an active partner in what God is doing in our daily lives and also in our world. Baptism is, of course, where all of that begins. That initial step that we take with Jesus. And the steps that follow are ones of joining God in the messiness of our world. That's why the baptismal font is there at the back. Hopefully as you come in, you receive from the holy water that is there, remembering your own baptism, that is your entrance into the church. But as you leave from this place, you also dip your hand into the water to remember the baptism that you have. That it is not just to be kept inside, it is to be taken out into the community. So we enter with our baptism, we exit to live our baptized lives and live out our baptismal covenant. Well, finally, we learn from Jesus' baptism of God's love for us. In this short account Mark provided of the baptism, we are shown a grand demonstration of God's love and God's willingness to come down to be with us, to suffer with and for us, to rejoice with us, and to fix all the junk that we've broken. God's tearing the heavens to come to us was not out of judgment or wrath, but out of love. Usually back then in their world, they thought that if God was appearing, it wasn't going to be a good thing. That God was going to throw a lightning bolt at you. Or God was going to destroy your crops. God was going to give you boils. But with Jesus, it is totally different. God says, this is who I am. This is how much I love you. This is how much I want to be with you. Saint Therese of Lisieux understood this well when she wrote, a God who became so small could only be mercy and love. In all the expanse of the universes that we have discovered, and knowing that there are far more out there, isn't it mind-boggling what God did in getting involved with our planet? Sending Jesus to Earth to show us something special about God and sharing with us in word and deed sacrificial and unconditional love. It is indeed mind-boggling. Such love is there for us to see, to hear, and behold in Jesus. Has this love enlightened you? Will it enlighten you as you begin this brand new year? Will you be resolute to explore God's amazing love for you? That's something we all ought to be asking. As has been said about epiphanies, they are all around us. I mean, they are. They're going to be out there this week. Only for you to stop and to discover them. God has self-revealed in Jesus. So now let us discover for ourselves this God who is among us. Amen.
Amen.